1, 2, 3, test. Jesus, what time is it, Kathy? I can't tell. I'm getting too old for these cross-country jaunts. The jet lag thing. Whoa. But hey, a good time was had by all. Let me tell you, if you weren't in Seattle, you missed a party. AM 1090, KPTK, CBS Radio in Seattle. They know how to put together a gig. It was an awful lot of fun. And Brad Friedman, thank you very much for holding down the fort, or defending the fort, or doing whatever you did with the fort. Thank you. I appreciate your efforts while we were gone. Thank you very much, Brad. I don't know where to begin. Every time I leave the broadcast hole in the wall here to go anywhere, hell, I can go to the grocery store and something horrific happens every single time. It doesn't make any difference if it's a working event or 4 or 5 days off or a weekend someplace. It never fails. By the way, this hour is sponsored by Gabby Cuda. Thanks, Gabby. Her message: hi, Mike. Happy belated birthday to Molly and me. That would be Gabby. We share a birthday. You are my favorite talk show host. I understand your passion for this wonderful country of ours. Love all of you. Gabby. Gabby, that's very sweet. Thank you. Thanks for the sponsorship. And the nice message, too. Did I say we had an interesting time? We, Kathy and the kid and I, we spent almost 5 days out there. We went early and stayed late. Kathy and Molly had never been to the Pacific Northwest, and it was getting very close to the Canadian border, where we're thinking of crossing at some point and just not coming back. And some of the events that continue to occur here in the United States of America continue to convince us that would probably be a good idea. I don't know. We'll watch your report. Honestly, once again, I'm not sure where to begin. The obvious point is the crisis here. A crisis created by, for, and about Republicans. And I hope the sons of bitches all pitch into a grease trap someplace and just suffocate. I've never, ever, ever, ever gotten to the point where I hope an entire political party goes up in flames. What a bunch of America haters. But before we get there, I tried to stop talking about this crazy Glenn Beck, but I guess you know, he says the kids at the Norwegian camp that were murdered by a Christian who probably listened to Beck via the internet, that those kids were the equivalent of Nazi youth organizations. And if you read between his lines, his coded messages, his madness, Beck says they deserved to die. All of them deserved to die because they were like Hitler Youth. They deserved to die, Glenn Beck. He was celebrating the killer on his filthy radio program and urging more of this kind of murder from his demented audience. Beck, celebrating the deaths of 73, 77, whatever, 70 children, kids. He called them Hitler Youth, and by implication, they deserved to die. Glenn Beck advocating the mass murder of children. How much more are you bobble-headed bastards who listen to this freak? How much more are you going to take? What if he comes, sends a killer to a school in your neighborhood or a camp in your neighborhood and kills your son or daughter, Mr. or Miss Conservative? Mr. or Miss Teabagger? How about that, huh? What if he advocates that? What if your kid goes off to summer camp and there are 3 or 4 Muslims, which Beck hates, 4 or 5 Jews, which he hates, and your kid and 200 or 300 others, and Beck orders one of his hit squad team members to go kill all the kids in that camp? Are you going to continue to listen to him? Are you going to continue to say he's a real American? Are you going to continue to say, yeah, well, he's just a conservative? And Glenn Beck is not insane. He's a goddamn killer, and he orders the hit on other people, just like O'Reilly does. That's what these people do. Through their specifically coded language, they order death and destruction right here. Now, keep in mind that the murder and mayhem in Norway was caused by Norwegian. The murder and mayhem that occurs in this country, for the most part, is caused by Americans. The threat is within, folks. The threat is not from Islamic anything. The threat in this country is from Christian crazy people. Only they're not really crazy. They're, I don't know, sick? Is it a difference? I've come to a conclusion. All religious fundamentalists should be denied the right to own a gun. All of them. But especially Christian fundamentalists. Because they, by definition, Christian fundamentalists who own guns, by definition, intend on killing people or intend to kill people. Christian fundamentalists who own a gun intend to kill people. They also are hypocrites. Their God says no killing. It's right there. Thou shalt not kill. That's what it says. And the son of their God says, turn the other cheek, and blessed are the meek, and all the other garbage that they claim to believe in. And they arm themselves to kill. There should be a test to get a weapon in this country, any kind of a weapon. I don't care if it's a goddamn high-powered slingshot. If it's a bow and arrow, take the test. Take the test. Let's find out how oh, you're a Christian? Sorry. No gun for you. No bullet for you. And the racism of U.S. conservatives has finally taken over their tiny brains. They will destroy this country in order to stop the black man from a second term as president. It doesn't make any difference what his policies are. Oh, Jesus, God in heaven, his policies, as he has offered on the table to these crazy bastards, is to the right of them. He's way, way down the road from where they are into right-wing politics. They say no because of the color of his skin. That's the only reason. God damn it, call it what it is. This has nothing to do with politics and everything to do with racism. Well, where to begin, huh? Where to begin? Glenn Beck advocating and celebrating the murder of scores of children. Sick son of a bitch. And he's going to have a play. Have you got time to play some of it? You don't? Okay, we'll play some for you here. Hitler Youth. You filthy, filthy, disgusting son of a bitch, you. The time is getting very, very close to a real societal breakdown in this country. You know it as well as I do. It's coming as surely as Glenn Beck advocates mass murder. As surely as Rush Limbaugh takes phone calls from John Boehner and tells Boehner how to respond to whatever the president says. That's where this is coming from. Boehner's brain is so pickled from all of his alcohol, his Merlot, and this little rat bastard, what's his name, Cantor, who couldn't find his butt with a roadmap. But it's Boehner, who calls Limbaugh to find out what to do. Because like Rupert Murdoch, Limbaugh controls these bastards. Just like Murdoch controlled them in England, Limbaugh controls them here. And Boehner is the one who most exemplifies that control. We'll be right back.
Wait, He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous.
21 past the hour. All right, breaking my own vow never to put this slimy bastard on my program again. This is Glenn Beck, who now advocates the murder of children through his coded language, referring to the kids in Norway as similar to Hitler Youth Organization, never failing to mention some of the right-wing indoctrination camps that are set up in this country. This is what the right wing does. You know, I used to refer to, and still do occasionally, the Bush crime family and certain trends in this country having very, very clear similarities to Nazism and the processes and the people involved in the Nazi movement that destroyed Germany. And they are valid comparisons. But see, here we go with this equivalency argument that these right-wing bastards, or not even right-wing, just media comes up with. There is no equivalency when I refer to Bush policies as neo-Nazi. And when Glenn Beck refers to children of liberal, progressive people in Norway as Hitler Youth. Beck uses Nazi and Hitler the same way he uses the cream to cure his jock itch, liberally and constantly. But this is part of it. You see, you accuse your opponent of the very thing that you're doing in order to make their legitimate accusation seem kind of empty and ridiculous. Beck needs to be removed from this country. He needs to be put out somewhere, maybe on an island. In this first clip, you'll hear Beck compare the murdered children, children of Labor Party members, to the Hitler Youth.
So, Saturday, I was following the news of the shooting in Norway and the explosion in Norway, which happened, what, on Friday?
Yeah, the explosion was, and then we left the air, and
right,
and then he went to, you know, the camp.
Yeah, well, when we heard the explosion, everybody was willing to say, it's Muslim extremists, it's Muslim extremists. I don't think we made a comment on it because we didn't know, other than there was a bombing that happened. And as the thing started to unfold, and then there was a shooting at a political camp, which sounds a little like, you know, the Hitler Youth or whatever, I mean... Who does a camp for kids that's all about politics? Disturbing.
Hitler Youth. So go kill him. Right, Glenn? What's disturbing, you son of a bitch? A camp provided by the labor government, the labor movement in Norway, a country that would kick your ass out faster. You could never even get in there. That is that what you're railing against, you filthy swine, or the person who committed the murder, whose philosophies perfectly align with yours? In the second clip here, Beck takes the opportunity of this horrific event to advance his theory that Muslims are ruining all societies on earth. What the hell this has to do with the murdered children is anybody's guess. But if Beck can turn the topic to Muslim bashing, he will. Or liberal bashing. He's just like, who's the skinny broad? Ann Coulter, the rest of these right-wing sons of bitches, they do this all the time. Liberals, gays, Jews, Muslims, anybody, and everybody except these crazy, psychotic Christian fundamentalists. What he promises in his upcoming TV show here to explain to all of us what the earth is going to look like. Move over, Stephen Hawking.
I get up Saturday morning and I write to Scott Baker at The Blaze and I said, I haven't seen this yet anywhere and I can tell you exactly what's going on. Somebody just needs to follow the story. And what is going on is exactly what I said would happen. I warned that this would happen last fall.
You're a god.
Political correctness. And multiculturalism
is
killing Europe.
Oh, okay.
I warned that what was coming in Europe, and I will detail this in great detail on week number one of GBTV. I'm going to show you what the world's going to look like.
Jesus Christ.
But last fall, I said, Europe is going to go into financial trouble.
Oh,
and
it's also
going to go into problems with radical Islam.
Oh, you're
because
brilliant.
The cities are being overrun. And the cities are also, many of them, are being, for instance, in France, they are being Islamic towns or whatever you call them,
towns?
sections are getting in to the middle management of all of France, and this is happening all over Europe.
Really?
And what's happening is they're like on the city councils and the board of education and everything else. They're the ones that are pushing all the papers and making all the rules. It's kind of a Cass Sunstein thing. And they are squeezing the neck of Europe.
Squeezing the neck? Well, that means choking. Well, Glenn, are you advocating more murder? I think you are. You're calling for the murder of civil servants in France now, aren't you? Is there nobody who's going to put a stop to this crazy bastard's insanity?
But where are the clouds? There ought to be clouds.
Liberal is a good word. It's more Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Gabby Cuda. Gabby writes, hi, Mike. Happy belated birthday to Molly and me. We share a birthday. You are my favorite talk show host. I understand your passion for this wonderful country of ours. Love all of you. Gabby. Thanks, Gabby. All right, Glenn Beck, who now advocates the mass killing of children. He refers to them as Hitler Youth, the kids that were gunned down by the Christian right-wing fundamentalist Beck Lover in Norway. With deep ties to the Christian fundamentalist right in this country, of which Beck is a proud member. Just because you don't understand the language, Truth Seeker, does not mean that the words are not being spoken. Beck orders people, as does O'Reilly. Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer, Tiller the killer. Over and over and over again, because they understand their audience. Their audience of zombies. Total zombies. Not dead, not alive. And you broadcast this kind of stuff to enough people. To their millions of viewers and listeners, and eventually you hit the right one. The right one who says, yeah, I think so. And then murders 20, 30, 50, 60, 70 people. And this last clip of this filthy pig, Beck, details that Beck's belief that madmen like Breivik, are born out of a desire to instill big government on us. There's your connection. What produces a mass killer in Norway? Why, a desire to instill big government on us. That's right. Like that guy McVeigh and people like him. They just want big government. And they're exactly like Bin Laden, who obviously was a pro-government Democrat, right? Here's Beck.
He is coming out and he is doing the work of a madman. He's doing the work of what all people that want big government always do, and that is commit terrorist acts.
Oh,
however,
Christ.
I want to make this very, very clear. This is the act of a madman. This is the act of somebody who needs to be in prison for the rest of their life. This is not anything that anyone should ever engage in. There is no difference between him and the 9/11 bombers. Nothing. No difference. He is just as bad as Osama bin Laden.
Another big government Democrat. Beck, your little tagline there. First of all, he's not insane. That's you are. But the guy who committed the murders is not. And you're not insane either. This guy is as sane as you are. It's just that you and people like Breivik are eaten up with evil. If I were, if I had any belief in on this religious hocus pocus, there'd be no question in my mind, Glenn Beck, that you are a devil. You are a devil. And you are exactly like the guy who committed the murder. The mass murder. The mass killing. This is what you advocate. This is what you push people to do. This is what your entire message is. You're not yet to the level of Jim Jones, but you're getting there. You're getting there. Just do the, can you do the Hitler Youth one more time, and then we're going to move away from this filthy pig. There you go.
So, Saturday, I was following the news of the shooting in Norway and the explosion in Norway, which happened, what, on Friday?
Yeah, the explosion was, and then we left the air, and
right.
And then he went to, you know, the camp.
Yeah, well, when we heard the explosion, everybody was willing to say, it's Muslim extremists! It's Muslim extremists! I don't think we made a comment on it because we didn't know, other than there was a bombing that happened. And as the thing started to unfold, and then there was a shooting at a political camp, which sounds a little like, you know, the Hitler Youth or whatever. I mean, who does a camp for kids that's all about politics? Disturbing.
Disturbing, you filthy, filthy bastard. Well, by the way, I just got this. Remember earlier this year when Wisconsin's proto-fascist, and he is. See, this is where Beck and pigs like him try to delegitimize the word Nazi or the word fascist by using it in exactly opposite in the manner in which it is, for which it's a definition. But it's not going to work. Scott Walker in Wisconsin is a proto-fascist. He is. He simply is. Nazi? I don't know about the Nazi. But he is a fascist. Now, earlier this year, he was one of the Republican governors that signed a law saying that if you want to vote, that happened here in Georgia, what, 2 years ago or last year. If you want to vote, you've got to have a photo ID card. Your voter registration card is no longer valid in these states. When you go to register yourself as a voter and you go before your local Board of Elections registrar and you show up with identification, something to prove you are who you are, and they check your identification, whatever it is you present, and issue your voter ID card. That's no longer any good in the states run by these Republican fascists. Now they insist that you have a photo ID. Well, these laws in the states that have these laws affects, for the most part, older people, younger people, students, minorities, low-income voters. So Walker, like his filthy compatriots in these other Republican-dominated states, having disenfranchised all these voters, thousands of them, and in Wisconsin, tens of thousands, Walker now makes it harder for these voters to obtain the ID they need to regain the right to vote. How did he do that? According to Crooks and Liars, quote, Governor Scott Walker's administration is working on finalizing a plan to close as many as 10 offices where people can obtain driver's licenses in order to expand hours elsewhere and come into compliance with new requirements that voters show photo IDs at the polls. Now, you'll notice how it's reworded. Oh, well, we're doing this to make it easier for people to get photo IDs. That's why we're closing 10 offices where people go to get photo IDs. That'll make it easier to get photo IDs. We're going to reduce the number of offices where people can get photo IDs. That will make it easier to get photo IDs. You see how this works? How much longer are you people in Wisconsin going to allow someone like Scott Walker to determine your lives? Oh, I know you right-wingers don't give a goddamn. You couldn't care less. No country, no state in this country is immune from these right-wing cockroaches, whether they are Christian fundamentalists, proto-Nazis, neo-Nazis, fascists. But I repeat myself. They don't care. Because every right-winger is a coward. Every right-winger is terrified of a Muslim coming into their neighborhood and gunning down their children at camp while Glenn Beck is advocating just that. You people don't get it, do you? You will. Eventually you will. When we come back after this break, we'll talk a little bit here about Obama and Boehner. You know, Boehner's a moron. As a Speaker of the House, he's arguably the worst, he is the worst Speaker of the House ever to occupy that position. Boehner is. So bad that he goes to Limbaugh. He goes to Limbaugh for his marching orders. What do I do now, Rush? I'm out of wine. The bars are closed. It's Sunday. Liquor store is closed. What am I supposed to do, Rush? And Rush tells him what to do, and he does it. Now, that's to be expected from a classless moron like John Boehner. But Barack Obama? Barack Obama in this danse macabre with Boehner? Barack Obama and Harry Reid putting everything on the table, and now they're talking about no tax increases, no tax changes for anybody. We're just going to slash and burn. And still, the Republican leadership says no because they want the black guy in the White House gone.
Screaming with Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Before we get to Obama and Boehner, this from theweek.com, you know, Beck talking about political indoctrination camps. Welcome to Tampa Liberty School. It's a Glenn Beck-inspired summer camp that teaches 8-year-olds how to fight the man. Tampa Liberty School is a week-long day camp for kids ages 8 to 12. It's run by the Tampa 912 Project, a Tea Party-affiliated group aligned with Glenn Beck's 912 Project. The camp is organized by conservative writer Jeff Lukens, and according to the St. Petersburg Times, the kids are indoctrinated with stuff like Well, the usual right-wing garbage. Government cannot force me to be charitable. I will share what I have with who I want to. Oh, Jesus. So Glenn is suggesting that someone go into that camp and open fire. That's what he's suggesting. When he refers to the kids at a camp in Norway as Hitler Youth and then makes a statement that these kinds of camps questions them in that inimitable way that he does, is he then suggesting that someone go to the Tea Party summer camp and do the same thing the Christian fundamentalists did in Norway? These kids will be taught that the gold standard beats paper currency. The camp will have a store where kids can buy things using hard wrapped candies representing gold, or a paper currency that will lose its purchasing power through the week that they're there. Jesus God. The kids will sit quietly in a bare room that is supposed to represent Europe, then progress through an obstacle course to a festive party room, which will be the new world where red, white, and blue confetti will be thrown about. Then the kids will have to clean up the confetti to teach them that freedom requires work and responsibility. They will be taught that socialism is bad. The campers will blow bubbles from a communal tub of soapy water, then use squirt guns to shoot other kids' bubbles, tallying the number they pop. Next, they will switch to individual bubble containers, popping their own bubbles to learn, quote, that you can do a lot more with individual freedom, end quote. Popping other kids' bubbles? Now you gotta wonder, will parents send their kids there? Well, of course. In Tampa? Are you kidding me? It's a great bargain. $15 total for 5 3-hour days. Works out to $1 an hour. If the camp is a hit, its organizers want to offer more sessions either over the summer or during the school year. What are the chances the camp will produce young tea partiers, little tea baggers? Well, the campers would turn out to be either insufferable proselytizing Ayn Rand adolescents or black-clad teenage loners who love death metal and hate their parents. That's according to Heather Parton at Hullabaloo. Either way, do you not see the irony of indoctrination into individualism? In other words, they take these kids and warp their brains. Indoctrination? With the end result being what Glenn Beck would refer to as individualism. And Glenn Beck is now advocating that kids in these camps be murdered because they are Hitler Youth. Do you see how he does it? You see how this is done? Do you understand what a threat Glenn Beck is, not just here, but globally? Man, man, oh man, oh man. When will Glenn Beck remove himself? When? When? This hour has been sponsored by Gabby Cuda. Her message, hi Mike, happy belated birthday to Molly and me. We share a birthday. You are my favorite talk show host. I understand your passion for this wonderful country of ours. Love all of you. Gabby, thanks Gabby. Thanks for the sponsorship, but also thanks for the nice message too. This is from Betty. Hi, Mike. I listen to you every night. Would you please get the following on the air tonight? 1, Social Security recipients have paid into the Social Security account all of their working years. 2, Medicare. Social Security recipients who have signed up for Medicare have a Medicare payment deducted from every Social Security camp. Or Social Security check. I've got that on my mind now. Please publicize items 1 and 2. We have paid for and are still paying for our so-called entitlements. I'm 82 years old, have worked since I was 15. Worked until November 2008 when I became ill and my employer of 20 years terminated my employment. My only source of income is my Social Security. I have no one to help me financially. After my fixed expenses, no frills, no cable TV, no cell phone, I have $230 to live on. Out of this, I must buy groceries, pay prescription copays, buy gas for the car, which I only use for medical appointments, all within 10 miles of my apartment, and medical supplies. My only luxuries are supplies for my two cats and internet access. If I had the money, I would support you. Oh, my. Keep up the good work. Betty, P.S., I would be glad to send you a copy of my income and expenses. No, 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 Betty. That won't be necessary. Stephen in Burbank, Mike, this is only a simple observation of the current scene. I don't remember if it's a dream or reality. The town crier was ringing the bell on the street corner. Hear ye, hear ye. Henceforth, it has been decreed that under no circumstances shall any white male Christian be referred to as being a terrorist. From now on, any white male Christian who slaughters the innocent shall be deemed to be insane. The provocation of the insane shall continue to be legal through the media. Such provocation shall not be allowed to be countered by anyone with a conscience. Anyone attempting to counter such provocation shall be denied the means to do so through the mainstream media and shall henceforth be marginalized. Any attempt by elements of the citizenry to petition the government for media reform shall also be deemed to be insane, as the media are only performing an exercise. No, as those petitioning are only performing an exercise in futility. The Al-Qaeda operatives are to be declared not insane and shall be denied mental health care and a fair trial. Hear ye, hear ye. Stephen. Yeah, I'm tired of seeing these mass killers being, especially the one in Norway, immediately being identified by his lawyer and right-wing pigs like Glenn Beck as insane. He's not insane, any more insane, sane or insane, than someone who commits a murder. That's not insane. It's something else. If it's a political murder, is someone going to say that Lee Harvey Oswald was insane? This guy committed 76 political murders. Timothy McVeigh committed 168 political murders. Was Timothy McVeigh found insane? Did he ever claim to be insane? It's a very clear-headed act of terror. Were the 19 bombers who committed suicide by attacking this country, were they insane? Their actions were very deliberate, conscious, premeditated, and clear-headed. Just like Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck is not insane. He's the head of a cult that decides when and where people should be attacked, killed, murdered. The problem is the illusion of control that Glenn Beck thought he was maintaining is slipping away. This hour is sponsored by Salomon Nawaz. His message, happy belated birthday to Molly, happy belated birthday to my dad, and happy belated birthday to me. Thanks, Mike, for helping to keep it real. Thanks, Solomon. According to Think Progress, in an interview on Hardball Monday evening, Chris Matthews' program, Senator Mike Lee, Republican of Utah, admitted that he is using the threat of a catastrophic default to extort the United States into rewriting the Constitution to force a permanent era of conservative governance. Do you understand? Mike Lee wants America's house to come down unless Congress votes to rewrite the Constitution. Now, if these were people from outside the country, we would lock them up and torture them in Guantanamo. Why is Mike Lee not locked up? Why is Glenn Beck not locked up? Why is John Boehner and Eric Cantor not in a prison someplace? If these people, these right-wingers, were not American, were advocating the destruction of the country the way the right-wingers are, we would either try to arrest them or assassinate them. Targeted assassination. We would send a drone aircraft and put a Hellfire missile right up their asses. Why are we not doing that to the right-wingers in this country who are demanding that the country collapse? Why not? Chris Matthews. How many days do you think we have on the outside to get this debt ceiling through before we have a problem? How many days? Mike Lee. I don't know. Maybe 10 days. Chris Matthews. Okay. In 10 days, you want to change the United States Constitution to two-thirds vote in both houses. That's what you're demanding. Mike Lee. Yes. If possible, we can't change the Constitution just in Congress, but we can submit it to the states. Let the states fight it out. Chris Matthews. And you think you're being reasonable by saying you want a two-thirds vote in the House, which is Republican, and the Senate, which is Democrat. You want the Democratic Senate by a two-thirds vote to pass a constitutional amendment, or you want the House to come down? Yes. Mike Lee. Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying. I've been saying this for 6 months. It's important to note just what Lee wants the American people to swallow before he'll agree not to set off an economic crisis that could cost millions of people their jobs. Lee's proposed amendment makes it functionally impossible to raise taxes by imposing a two-thirds supermajority requirement, a provision closely modeled after the California anti-tax amendment that blew up that state's finances. It would also require America to return to 1966 spending levels, spending cuts that are so steep they would have made every single one of Reagan's budgets unconstitutional. Spending levels of 1966. I'm going to pitch these people. Where's a Hellfire missile when you need one, huh? According to Think Progress, if Lee's proposed cuts were imposed across the federal budget, every single senior would lose one quarter of his or her Social Security and Medicare benefits, and that's just the beginning. Because Lee wants to write these draconian cuts into the Constitution, the people of the United States will lose our power to overrule these cuts by electing different leaders. You see how this works? So Lee wants to rewrite our Constitution so that the American people must always live under conservative governance regardless of who they elect. And he's got a simple plan to force his colleagues in Congress to make this happen. This is what the Republicans are doing. And how is the knight in shining armor, Barack Obama, doing? How is Mr. President, and how is Harry Reid, and the rest of the Democratic Party leadership, how are they doing? How are these people doing? Obama is using the fraud of equal sacrifice. That's a lie. Obama is not about equal sacrifice any more than Boehner is. Seriously, I'm sorry. I know it's going to piss off a lot of people who still claim to be Democrats and who probably in their hearts are. I am. I still claim to be a Democrat. I'm just saying I will never again vote for a Democratic Party candidate for anything. I will vote for the individual man or woman. But a Democratic Party endorsement almost cancels that person out where it concerns my wanting to vote for him or her. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. All I did was complacent. Living here is paradise. He taught me paradise is in your mind. You know that there's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay the last. You better thank God for that. There's hope. It doesn't cost a thing to smile. You don't have to pay to laugh. You better thank God for that. There's hope. Every time I turn on the TV, there's hope. Somebody's acting crazy. There's hope. You let it, it'll drive you crazy. There's hope. I'm taking back my power today. There's hope. Gas prices, they just keep on rising. There's hope.
Just had another cup of coffee. Here's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Patrick Martin writes for World Socialist website, WSWS.org. And the website has some pretty powerful writing, no matter who does it. It is from a humanist socialist point of view, a mixed economy point of view. And the latest piece by Patrick Martin is about Obama returns to the fraud of, quote, equal sacrifice, end quote. And he talks about how those back-to-back nationally televised speeches that came Monday, we were flying back from Seattle, and Kathy had the headphones plugged in to the XM Sirius feed on AirTran. And by the way, do you know that AirTran... Oh, it did? Okay. Then I won't say it. I was watching the sunset from 39,000 feet and watching the furious storms churn across underneath us while Kathy was listening to Obama's speech. And she said, You already listen. Where were you listening on Sirius Left? I said no thanks. I'm going to watch the sunset here. It's not all that often that I get to see a sunset from 39,000 feet. But the speech was followed by one from John Boehner. And as Patrick Martin says, they were both a political fraud on every level. Martin says that the so-called debate in Washington on the federal deficit is rigged in advance. Everybody involved, from the president to the speaker to the Senate Majority Leader, all of them take as their first principle the imposition of massive cuts on programs that benefit working people. Have you noticed that? Or is your head still so far up your behind because you're thinking that Barack Obama is here to save us? I wish you'd stop, but go ahead. Go ahead. I made a very unpopular statement at the AM 1090 forum Saturday night. As a matter of fact, with Dennis Kucinich and Mike Papantonio, well, Papantonio not so much, but Dennis Kucinich and a few of my colleagues in the talk radio business, totally convinced that Barack Obama is doing the best he can. And I made the statement that the Democratic Party is dead and there needs to be a new political movement. The stage got very quiet. But I've said it on this program. I'm damn sure not going to go to a political forum and talk as though I think Barack Obama is providing leadership when we desperately need it, because he is not. This is an unprecedented attack on the living standards, social rights of working people that the Republican and Democratic Party leaderships are cooperating in. And as Patrick Martin says, these two parties don't represent the American people. They represent the American financial aristocracy, whose wealth and income is defended at the expense of the masses of people like you and me. And we will see basic social programs that we rely on, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, food stamps, all these social the infrastructure work, FAA, I mean, pick one, all devastated by spending cuts. Martin says Obama delivered a cynical speech. His purpose was to appeal to the American people to support spending cuts that will drive millions of us into poverty while leaving the gargantuan wealth of the financial aristocracy untouched. Virtually every sentence in his 15-minute address was a lie. So was Boner's. According to Martin, Obama described the two sides in the debate in terms that underscore the essential unity of these two political parties. Obama said that both sides, quote, agree on the amount of deficit reduction, end quote, but disagree on what form that should take. One approach, Obama said, was based on painful cuts in federal spending, including programs like Medicare, but he asked the wealthy and the corporations, you know, to give a little. And this was described as his balanced approach. His opponents, Obama continued, insist on a cuts-only approach with nothing from the wealthy. Now, that's what Obama said. More when we come back.
But I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end, and you could have it all, my empire of dirt.
Seekers, here's the truth speaker, Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Salman Nawaz. Salman Nawaz. Hope I'm pronouncing that right, Salman. The message, happy belated birthday to Molly, happy belated birthday to my dad, and happy belated birthday to me. Thanks, Mike, for helping to keep it real. Thanks for the sponsorship, Salman. Back to Patrick Martin, writing at WSWS.org. And the fact that both John Boehner and the Republicans and Barack Obama and the Democrats really do not have the interests of working class people, not even on the table, as Nancy Pelosi would said in a different context, it's not even on the table. In order to conceal the dimensions of the cuts endorsed by both sides in this phony-ass debt ceiling deal. Now keep in mind, please, what Obama and the Democrats are giving away over a phony issue, raising the debt ceiling. It's phony as hell, but what a golden moment, right? Wasn't it Obama that said, we have this historic moment, we can change everything? And of course, the Republicans still said no because they can't stand the fact that he's a black man. But it was Obama who put all this stuff out there at the expense of you and me. Obama was careful to give no figures, Patrick Martin writes. Both the White House and the congressional Republicans have proposed cuts as high as $4 trillion over the next 10 years. Cuts. No taxes. Cuts, including devastating attacks on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, nutrition programs, federal programs supporting education, transportation, housing, environmental protection, and consumer and worker safety and health. That's what your president has offered to slash. That's what the Democratic Party leadership has decided to destroy. Do you understand? Please, for God's sake, understand it. If you still want to consider yourself a Democrat, go ahead. But at least understand what you're supporting. As for tax increases on the rich, Obama proposed a few hundred billion dollars. Don't forget, a trillion is 1,000 billion. A few hundred billion dollars in tax increases on the rich, which really would be more like closing loopholes. That's supposed to serve as the fig leaf for the anti-working class character of Barack Obama's overall budget policy. The president warned, Martin goes on, that the intransigence of the House Republicans threatened to force the U.S. government into default on its obligations after August 2nd. And he has repeatedly urged the Republicans to compromise on legislation to raise the debt ceiling. The phony issue. And then Patrick Martin writes, the pathetic, cringing character of these appeals were remarkable. U.S. presidents usually commandeer the airwaves for a nationally televised address to announce a major policy action in either domestic or foreign policy. But Obama announced nothing except his own impotence in the face of the ultra-right, and he ended with a call for people to write letters to Congress urging a compromise. Write your member of Congress. Does anybody out there believe that the members of Congress who get letters from their constituents, unless they're teabaggers, are going to do anything? And they have to be freshman teabaggers because the other teabaggers are phony. The freshman teabaggers are absolutely dedicated to the destruction of the country. Write letters to your members of Congress, the leader of the United States, the head of the government, the people or the person that you and I, and God, I hate to admit it, and millions of other people elected as president to lead this nation. And what does he do at a moment of crisis like this? He says, write letters to your members of Congress. So many letters went in. I heard on the news tonight that the congressional or whatever the hell they are websites crashed. Ooh, democracy in action. Do you think it will make a difference? If you do, you're a fool. Martin also writes that Obama now complains that the federal government's solvency is being held hostage by the most right-wing faction of the House Republicans. But, and please remember this again, I don't care how you vote, vote Democrat, go ahead. But please keep this in mind, the White House and the congressional Democrats, Barack Obama and the congressional Democrats, ceded this power to the ultra-right. They gave it up. They gave it up. Let's go back to Nancy Pelosi. Let's go back to the last 2 years of the Bush crime family. When Nancy Pelosi had a chance to show Republicans, to show Democrats, to show Americans, to show the world, we are not going to be led by a terrorist. And what did she do? She turned her back. And George W. Bush and Cheney and the rest of these sons of bitches walked free. But go ahead, vote Democrat. Go ahead. Just continue to do it. But just please understand what you're doing. And as Martin points out, the Democrats controlled the House and the Senate during the first 2 years of Obama's presidency and refused to raise taxes on the wealthy. On the contrary, they expanded and extended the bailout of Wall Street that was begun under the Bush administration while refusing to take any serious action at all to create jobs for the millions of us put out of work by the economic catastrophe that followed the 2008 Wall Street crash that was brought about by the sons of bitches who are still doing it. And in December 2010, when the Democrats still control Congress, Obama made a deal with the Republicans to extend the Bush-era tax cuts for the wealthy for another 2 years and deferred action on the debt ceiling. The president claimed he had no choice but to yield to blackmail by the Republicans, who threatened to block an extension of tax cuts for working people unless the much larger tax cuts for the wealthy were included. And what did Barack Obama do, Truth Seeker? What did our white knight do? He cringed like a whipped dog. That's what he did. And then when the newly installed Republican House majority then insisted that the legislation to raise the federal debt ceiling and include huge cuts in federal spending, Obama not only agreed to their demands, but he embraced the debt ceiling deadline as an opportunity to push through social spending cuts deeper than even the Republicans first proposed. It was Obama, not Boehner, who put Social Security on the table for budget cuts. Do you understand that? Well, good. I'm glad you do. If you want to continue to vote a Democrat, go ahead. Well, after all, there's the Supreme Court. You know, oh, Jesus Christ, we have to have a Democratic president. Yes, yes, indeed, because of the Supreme Court. Are you serious? At one point in his speech last night, Obama urged the Republicans not to, quote, let the American people become collateral damage, end quote, in the debt ceiling conflict. And that was perhaps the most grotesque distortion in an entire litany of lies by Barack Obama. The American people are not accidental or unintended victims. We are not collateral damage. We are the deliberate target of the onslaught of spending cuts being debated by the two parties. Do you understand that? We are not collateral damage. The president and the Republican leadership and the Democratic leadership has put your ass and mine and our children and grandchildren's on the chopping block. And they don't give a goddamn what happens. Do you not understand that? If you do, bless you. And if you still want to continue to vote Democrat, go ahead. But just know what you're voting for. Please. That's all. Obama and Boehner represent the U.S. financial aristocracy. As John Martin points out, Patrick Martin, I'm sorry, the financial aristocracy, which is seeking to make use of this orchestrated crisis over the raising of the federal debt ceiling to create the conditions for an unprecedented attack on the living standards and social rights of working people. Do you understand that? Can you not get it through your head? Do you please... please understand what's going on. I don't have an agenda for you. I'm just asking you to please understand, if you support the Democratic Party or this president, what you're supporting, please.
Welcome to the new American century. Yeah, welcome to the new American century. I want a big, big Mac and double fries. I want to wave my American standards high. I want to fly my flag across your sky. Welcome to the new American century. Breathe on.
Truth seekers, gather round the campfire. It's More Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. The latest proposal, again going back to Patrick Martin, latest proposal introduced by the Republicans would condition an increase in the debt ceiling on $3 trillion in spending cuts over 10 years that would be enacted in two stages. And if Obama accepts this, of course, they'll run. Anyway, as Martin says, an initial $1.2 trillion would incorporate all the cuts in non-entitlement programs already accepted by the Obama administration in talks led by Joe Biden. A further $1.8 trillion, including cuts in Medicare and Social Security, would be worked out by a so-called bipartisan congressional committee adopted by next January. The latest Democratic plan was put forward yesterday by Harry Reid. It would raise the debt ceiling immediately rather than in two stages and provide $2.7 trillion in spending cuts over the next decade with no tax increases. Who will be affected, truth seeker, by the decrease in spending? Who's going to be affected? The wealthy? Reid proposed to put off cuts in Medicare and Social Security until after the 2012 election, and instead count as a spending cut the planned decline in military spending due to the drawdown of troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. Oh, a little accounting magic. I see. Both plans embrace the same $1.2 trillion, the $12,000 billion in cuts in non-entitlement programs, which will have devastating effects on the social infrastructure, particularly education, the environment, and transportation in the first stage. This is what the Democrats are proposing, as opposed to what the neo-fascist Republicans are proposing. Tell me the difference. Somebody, tell me the difference. Come on. Come on, Barack Obama supporters, classical Democrats, tell me the difference. The principal difference is that the Republican plan calls for a two-step process that would force a second vote on raising the debt ceiling and slashing social programs, particularly entitlement programs, right before the 2012 election, which would depress traditional Democratic Party turnout in the elections. In his speech, Obama endorsed the Reid plan, which demonstrates that his rhetoric about taxing the wealthy is just hot air. Obama now backs a plan that provides zero tax increases on the rich, abandoning even the promise, the pretense of shared sacrifice. What does this remind you of? Doesn't it remind you of, well, the insurance reform idea about health is going to have a public option? Right? How many times, seriously, how many times do you have to have a Democratic president kick you right in your face before you understand what's going on? I'm just curious. I'm just curious. How many times? 10, 80, 1,000, endlessly? Go ahead. Vote Democratic. Because after all, you know, there's the Supreme Court, right? Oh, God. God forbid we should ever have a Supreme Court that would, say the corporations were the same as human beings when it comes to the electoral process. Woohoo! Can't let that happen. In the official Washington debate, as Patrick Martin concludes, the needs and interests of working people count for nothing. Obama pitches his campaign for raising the debt ceiling entirely to the financial concerns of Wall Street, and the Republicans respond with an even more brutal defense of the rights of the wealthy to keep every penny they have plundered from the working class. So what to do? The working class must oppose any and all cuts for calls for sacrifice, whether in the name of deficit reduction or to avert a federal government default after August 2nd. Working people are not responsible for the Wall Street crash or the economic slump that followed or the massive federal deficits generated by the slump and the bailout of the banks. We are not responsible for it. So God damn it, why do we have to pay for it? You tell me. Tell me. Shared sacrifice my ass. Let me ask you something, Truth Seeker. Oh, by the way, you can find that whole piece at WSWS.org, Patrick Martin. Shared sacrifice? Is that what Mr. President was talking about the other night? Shared sacrifice? How so? How so? How is it shared? If you want to vote Democratic, go ahead. First of all, if you vote in a contested precinct like any place in Ohio, your vote's not going to matter worth a goddamn anyway. But if you insist on maintaining the illusion, then go ahead. But please understand what you're voting for. Understand what the Democratic Party now represents. What a shame that it was George Wallace, 42 years ago, who made the observation that there wasn't a dime's worth of difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. We'll be back after the break. Stick around if you, if you can. Welcome back. It is 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program. This hour also sponsored by Salomon Nawaz. Sorry, I know I'm mispronouncing it. You know, once I get past John or Betty Smith, I'm kind of in a fog, right? Anyway, Salomon's message this hour, in addition to a sponsorship here, he says, please purchase Malloy Show podcast subscriptions, and please listen to and support Cindy Sheehan's internet radio show at CindySheehan'sSoapbox.com. Thank you. Solomon, thanks for the sponsorship and that message. CindySheehan'sSoapbox.com. And this hour, Salomon Nawaz is our sponsor again. Let me rephrase it. This is what drives me sometimes crazy. I mean, just right out of my crawl space. Is when I hear and witness people who should know better. People who should know better. Democrats. Democrats by historic definition. Progressives by self-identification. People who talk about FDR, who talk about the glory days of social welfare programs in this country, the social safety net, the very spending plans that were designed to be a counterbalance to the horror of capitalism. And I listen to my fellow Democrats or progressives talk in a way that I just don't, I cannot understand it. These attacks, these drastic cuts and attacks on Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all these social safety net programs announced by Obama is nothing but a massive shift in policies by Democrats. Think about this. For the past 80 years, wasn't the Democratic Party built on and with a base of support among workers, among the poor, among the so-called disadvantaged? Wasn't the Democratic Party's platform put there by progressive movements that had policies that, if the Democrats would enact them, would help the poor, would help the workers, would help people in the middle class, help the working class become the middle class? How do you suppose the middle class came into being? You think it was the finger of God? No. It was years and years of struggle. And now we have a Democratic leadership from the president through the House and the Senate who are proposing an end to what it took 80 years to build. And some of you people get just a real burr under your saddle because you listen to this program and you think, what is this son of a bitch Malloy talking about? I'm not going to stop voting Democrat. I'm not going to not support Obama. I will send my email or my message to the White House and to the Senate and to the House. Yes, I will. I will do exactly what the president asked me to do. Yes, yes, yes. But, oh God. Why is it so hard, difficult, if not impossible, for people who otherwise identify themselves as Democrats or progressives or liberals to not see this? I mean, come on. This is not hard stuff. It's right in front of your face. Willful ignorance is willful ignorance, though. The refusal to see what's going on is just I don't know. It is. It's an epidemic in this country. It really is. And do you not? I mean, do you disagree? Do you agree? Do you disagree? Where it concerns the Democrats and the Republicans that they are both working toward the same goal? The absolute marginalization of what used to be called the middle class in this country. I mean, have you not witnessed this from Democrat and Republican presidents over the past 20 years? Have you not seen this starting with Clinton? Oh, yeah, there were a lot of jobs created during the Clinton years. And then what happened to them? Clinton assisted in creating these jobs with his tax increases that built up the treasury. And all of a sudden, the country was flooded with money, which opened the gates for entrepreneurs and web startups, which turned out to be quite a massive fraud, 90% of it, didn't it? But regardless of the ultimate bad, it all looked good at the very beginning. And then Clinton signed off on NAFTA. And then Clinton signed off on so-called welfare reform. And then Clinton signed off on the end of Glass-Steagall. And nobody wants to blame Clinton for anything. It's all the Bush crime family. Clinton was the enabler. The Bush crime family were the ones who put the process into action. But you want to continue to vote Democratic? Okay. All right. Far be it for me to tell a person who to vote for. I may say that people vote Republican are cowards, morons, and halfwits. But go ahead, vote Republican. It's your country that you are destroying. But Democrats, weren't you fooled enough during the Reagan years? I mean, don't you feel like a half-ass for being called defining yourself as a Reagan Democrat? Yeah, I'm a Reagan Democrat. Goddamn right. How does it feel now? I mean, it's 30 years later, so you don't work anymore, but you might have had a job 30 years ago that Reagan got rid of after you put him in office. You did. You put him in office. What is it? What is it in our system, our culture, our society, our own heads? What is it that makes us continue to do this over and over? Well, I got to vote Democratic because, you know, if I don't, the Republicans will appoint real Nazis to the Supreme Court, or they'll do this or they'll do that. They'll take away Social Security. They'll cut it. They'll cut Medicare. There'll be people unemployed. There'll be people on the streets. No infrastructure. You're describing the Obama administration. Why? Because the Democratic Party principles have changed? No, they're still there. But the Democratic Party leadership has sold itself to the devil. Send me an email. Tell me, prove to me I'm wrong. Show me the difference. Show me where Barack Obama and the Democratic Party leadership, elected leadership, is struggling to preserve and protect. Go ahead, please, give me something. God damn it, I'm about to have a nervous breakdown. Give me something. Show me something that says Obama is not doing what he says he's doing. Slashing this, cutting that, ending that, destroying that. After 80 years, your grandparents busted their asses to provide the social safety nets to make sure people were elected who did this sort of thing, who made sure that predatory capitalism could at least temporarily be held at bay. And now what are we doing? What's our generation doing? We're sitting back going, oh, well, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama, Barack Obama. You know, he's our leader. We got to keep voting for Barack Obama. We got to keep supporting Barack Obama. Really? We'll be right back.
your news unfiltered, only with Mike Malone.
21 past the hour. I have an email here from Bruce. Query 2. He writes, I'm a little concerned that you're going ahead with an analysis of the budget cuts when no details have been released. Well, Prairie 2, no, they haven't been. It's just that Harry Reid is developing a proposal with $2.7 trillion in cuts and nothing in revenues. I mean, that's kind of enough for me to offer up an analysis of the suicide that the Democrats are taking the country into. I'm sorry. He goes on, there's plenty of money going to Bush cronies that could be cut without any real cuts to the big three, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security. Well, yes, Bruce, there is. Who's suggesting it? The president? No. Bruce goes on, how about seeing the results first instead of cynically undercutting Obama before the deal is done? Cynically undercutting Obama? Cynically? If there is cynicism in the current debate, Bruce, it's coming from Barack Obama. 80 years of efforts to establish some kind of a social safety net as a not even a counterbalance to predatory capitalism, but just something for people to fall into when predatory capitalism cuts their goddamn throats, as we have just witnessed over the past 3 years. I'm being cynical. When the president of the United States then decides to cut those programs before the Republicans even offer to do the same? Bruce. I don't call that cynicism. I call it realism. Maybe the same, though, in these times, right? Bruce goes on, a big chunk of the savings, quote, quote, are based on the end of the endless wars. And that's going to happen when? When you say that I'm going ahead with an analysis of the budget cuts with no details, you, my good correspondent, my economic affairs correspondent, you are telling me that a big chunk of the savings are based on the end of the endless wars. Where do you see that as happening? Bruce goes on, the Republicans were making much of Obama cutting and running until it was pointed out that this was also a feature of the Ryan budget. You realize what you just wrote? Do you realize what you just wrote? Ryan, Obama, joined at the hip. Bruce goes on, the cuts are all, quote, down the road, uncut, unquote, and can be undone in 2013 when Democrats retake the House. Oh, so once again, with all due respect, my economic affairs correspondent, I, as an American voter whose vote counts for dog crap, I'm supposed to wait now and see what happens in 2013. Uh-huh. And that crystal ball that you are kind of suggesting I'm looking into is yours, right? Prairie 2 goes on, if Obama were to stand up and spout liberal rhetoric in the manner you are demanding, that would only result in failure. We don't need another Ralph Nader. Bruce, we never had a Ralph Nader. We never had a Ralph Nader. Barack Obama is the president. Ralph Nader was never the president. If Obama were to stand up and spout liberal rhetoric, you're saying, I'm not suggesting he spout liberal rhetoric. Who in the hell is suggesting that? I'm saying he should act like a leader. He should act like a Democratic leader. Screw the rhetoric. Action. Where do you hear me talking about liberal rhetoric, Bruce? In the manner I'm demanding, you're suggesting I'm demanding liberal rhetoric?
What the hell program are you listening to? I'm demanding leadership. I'm demanding action. I'm demanding that Barack Obama act like a goddamn Democrat.
We don't need another Ralph Nader. Well, Prairie 2, again, I'll just close my screaming rant about what you wrote here by saying we never had a Ralph Nader. If we would have, 4, 5, 6 elections ago, I have a feeling, although it's pretty hard to have a crystal ball that looks backwards, right? But I have a feeling that if we would have had Ralph Nader as president, and the Green Party, and progressives, real Democrats, in the House and the Senate, in the United States Supreme Court, instead of this mess of garbage that calls itself Democrats now, maybe, perhaps, possibly, we wouldn't be where we are now.
Your synchronized screaming. It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. This hour is sponsored by Salman Nawaz, whose message is, please purchase Malloy Show podcast subscriptions and please listen to and support Cindy Sheehan's internet radio show at CindySheehansSoapbox.com. Thank you. Thank you, Salman. Speaking of buying a podcast, I got this from Manuel. Mike, after hearing your rant against Barack Obama tonight, I had to cancel the subscription to your podcast. Tonight you helped the Republicans more than any right-wing, talk show host ever could. Obama and most of the Democrats are the only sane politicians left in Washington, and they are trying to save this country from the Republicans that only want to destroy the middle class and introduce a modern form of slavery in which there are no social safety nets. If radio talk show hosts like you discourage people on the left to vote for the Democrats, we get the results like last year in which the voter turnout was terrible and the teabaggers were able to take over the House. Would more Democrats have voted last year? If more Democrats have voted last year, we wouldn't be in the mess we are in right now, since Obama wouldn't have to make all those compromises he proposes. I understand that you would like the country to be governed much further from the left, and I am sympathetic to that, but it is absolutely unrealistic since only a very small group of the population would agree with your view. So since the Democrats are not doing exactly what you would do, you are trying to convince people that voting for a Democrat doesn't make a difference, and by doing that, you are helping the Republicans a great deal. Please excuse my bad English. It's not my native language, but I felt it was worth to write you this email. Thanks, Manuel. Manuel, sorry that you're going to cancel your podcast, but I certainly understand. The truth sometimes is like a lash, like an absolute cat of nine tails with little spikes in it. And when you feel the lash, of course, you want to get away. Don't blame me at all, Manuel. Don't blame me at all. Thanks for whatever subscriptions you have had in the past. And I'll miss your support. Patty in Madison, Wisconsin writes, Mike, I'm also amazed that progressive Democrats refuse to see how Obama has aligned himself with the Republican Party, regardless of the news reports that demonstrate this fact over and over again. The so-called progressives refuse to see that he repeatedly caters to the needs of the rich while actively seeking policies that would destroy everyone else. The only explanation I have for this attitude is that they have chosen to remain in denial because they can't accept the fact that they have elected a fraud. They now realize the responsibility for change is clearly in their hands, and they are scared to death. We can no longer rely on politicians to look out for us because they are only interested in looking out for those who can afford to subsidize their campaigns, assuring that the rich will continue to control our government and our lives. Patty and Madison. And from Marion in Arkansas, I believe. Mike, I'm sitting home listening online as I begin to adjust to life with a thyroid condition. Thankful that I have, that I am fully employed with what passes for good health insurance here in these United States. The message you read earlier from the retired lady whose only indulgence is internet access breaks my heart. I see people like her in my work on a regular basis. The fact that anyone in Washington would even consider messing with, the little that so many retired elderly have is as evil, if not more so, than that perpetrated by that loon in Norway. In the aggregate, it will create far more human misery, suffering, and death, just not in a TV-friendly package. Your remarks on the sellout by Obama and the Democratic leadership is nothing short of stunning. I feared Obama was the DLC New Democrat type and did not support him. It saddens me that my hunch has proven correct. I am through with the Democratic Party. My breaking point was the extension of the Bush tax cuts last December with a Democratic supermajority. It may have taken a little longer, but I see that you're with me. The hypothyroid condition has sapped me of energy, and your rant spoke exactly what is in my heart. If I knew a country that would accept me as a political refugee, I would be on the plane tomorrow. That hurts just to say, but it is true. Marion. And one last one here from Prairie 2. He's not going to give up. Bruce writes, in 1933, there was no Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment comp, workman's comp, labor laws, wage hour law, child labor law, and all home mortgages were 5 years with a balloon payment at the end. But there was a 3/4 majority of progressives in the House and Senate that told the new president, who ran on a balanced budget slogan, that he was going to be a progressive president instead. Today, we have that whole list of social safety net items, plus the middle class still thinks they have a 401k and a house they can afford. The middle class aren't ready to get active or even think they need to, except maybe in Wisconsin, where they've seen fascism up close. I think you are being deliberately dense about my comparison to Ralph Nader. The corporate media has been trying to turn Obama into such a character all along. The fear they feel about the impending collapse is the only reason they are paying Obama any deference now. Well, now I'm lost, Bruce. I'm not sure what you're saying here. Are you saying that in 1933, when we had, what, 140 million people and an entirely different political system, where politicians actually listened to and responded to their constituents, that Barack Obama, you know, you list all the things that weren't available in 1933. You know what else wasn't available? What else wasn't available is massive corporate sponsorship of Democratic candidates for public office. Oh, it was there for Republicans, but that's not your point. Your point was that FDR had to have his feet held to the fire. I seem to remember Barack Obama saying that. How close to the fire do the feet have to go, my friend? Do they have to go in the fire? Do they have to burn him up to his knees? What? What does it take? The man's been president for almost 4 years. What are you talking about? I'm talking about his policies. I'm talking about what he's advocating. Or do you believe, as Lawrence O'Donnell does, that this is all a great big trick by Barack Obama to murder the Republican Party? That's Lawrence O'Donnell's new story, and has been for a couple of weeks, which I happen to disagree with. Sorry, Bruce. I love your columns. Keep sending them in, but we're just going to have to disagree on this one, pal. Sanchez is in East L.A. Hello, Sanchez. Have we we got wait a minute. We had the volume down. Hey, Sanchez.
Oh, hey. Good evening, Senor Malloy. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall there on the dais watching you give your speech up there in Seattle and how attentive the audience. What was it? About 2,000 people were there, right?
I don't think there were that many, but it was, I think it's one of the biggest crowds we've had because we had Dennis Kucinich, we had Mike Papantonio, you know.
Norman Goldman.
Huh?
Norman Goldman you had there, Randy Rhoads,
yeah, but we
Stephanie
had,
Miller.
But we had two superstars. We had Papantonio and Dennis Kucinich, and I, and I think that brought in a lot of people. And I'll tell you, when I listen to Dennis Kucinich, you know, he's still a Democrat. He describes himself that way. That's the signifier after his name. But he is soon going to be without a district. He's not going to be reelected because the Ohio legislature and controlled by fascists and the governor's office controlled by another fascist are going to gerrymander his district right out of existence. So, you know, Dennis Kucinich is somebody I could definitely vote for. I hope that he and a couple other people, I hope they get a new political party started that the people can support. I don't know if he has the energy. I hope he does. Bernie Sanders, who's our friend from Florida? Alan Grayson. I disagree with Grayson on Israel-Palestine, but on his domestic policies, we're completely in line.
Yeah.
There are three, four, five, six prominent Democrats or independents who, if they put their energy together, could start something. You know, I am so sick of even smelling this, the putrid waste that used to be the Democratic Party. I'm so sick of it. And to hear people defend it as though the Democratic Party is going to do anything to reestablish the security of the middle class or the working class. It turns my stomach. It just does. They are not going to. It's gone. The Democratic Party, like I said on that stage, is dead. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
Oh, no, I know. I'm just trying to picture that. Picture how somebody like Stephanie Miller or Randy Rhoads, both on progressive radio at this point. Absolutely will now not allow any kind of constructive criticism about Obama on their program.
You know, on the stage in that forum, they were respectful of me as I was of them. When, I forget which, it might have been Stephanie, I know both Stephanie and Randy were defending Obama's policies and saying that he had succeeded. And out of respect, call it professional courtesy, call it whatever you want. They didn't slam me. I didn't slam them. I mean, we, you know, I don't hang out with talk show hosts. It's a very isolated life. But, you know, at least on this level. But, you know, I like Stephanie. Norman was too much in love with the audience. I couldn't quite figure out why Norman loved everybody, but.
It's his first time around, I think, in one of these panels, perhaps.
Well,
he's been doing panels before, but.
Hey, hold on a second. Hold on. I gotta do a break. We'll be right back.
Inside your head. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Salman Nawaz, whose message is please purchase Malloy Show podcast subscriptions and please listen to and support Cindy Sheehan's internet radio show at CindySheehansSoapbox.com. Thank you. And thank you, Salman. I appreciate the 2 hours of sponsorship. Coming back to Sanchez in just a second. Reg at TV News Lies. Excuse me, .org writes, Mike, no one, not a single person, has been indicted or brought to trial or sentenced for the criminal treachery that brought us to where we are right now. the financial institutions that created this horror and the warmongers who profit from our illegal and immoral wars are sitting pretty while the rest of us watch in horror as the Koch brothers and other right-wing power brokers manipulate the message to believe that there has to be shared burden in getting us out of this hole. Yesterday, Donald Trump said on Fox News that the only way to defeat Obama was to refuse to let the debt ceiling be raised. That's basically what the GOP wants, and Obama has only his professional expertise to fall back on. He's probably a decent man, but is in no way a progressive or the Democrat we thought he was. He is a political animal who is sniffing the butts of the rich and the powerful. But it's not about Obama. It's about telling uninformed, gullible, and desperate Americans that it's okay for hedge fund operators to pay 15% in taxes and for GE and Bank of America to pay nothing in taxes while Medicare and Medicaid recipients share in the rescue effort. Bullcrap. This is now a nation controlled by religious fanatics, predatory capitalists, and people who just don't get it. Reg Sanchez.
Yeah, another interesting thing about Cindy Sheehan's show. Cindy Sheehan used to be a guest on the Randy Rhodes program all the time. Randy Rhodes went down when Cindy Sheehan had Camp Casey right next to the Bush brushlands there down in Texas. And then when things changed and Obama got into office and Sheehan began criticizing Obama for continuing the war policies, and magically enough, Randy would not have Cindy Sheehan anymore on the program because Randy's in a position where she's working for Premier Radio Networks as the only Obama supporter.
All right, well, Sanchez, listen, I'm kind of uncomfortable because Randy isn't here to refute you.
Okay, well, all right.
And
let me go back just to say, well, that Cindy Sheehan, one of our greatest and most inspirational people working towards peace and against war, will no longer be booked on the Randy Rhodes program nor on the Stephanie Miller show, where neither I will be allowed to be on anymore. Why? Because I was critical of Obama. And I was also saying of his policies and not going after the previous war criminals, how corrupt the Pentagon was. It's probably more corrupt than Hamid Karzai's brother. And the final thing that I said that Steph cannot handle, she just cannot grasp in her little head that 9/11 was an inside job.
Wait, Sanchez, wait. You're making it very difficult for me right now.
Okay. I know they're friends. But
well, no. It's not so much as they're friends. It's what I said. It's professional courtesy. Well, it's difficult for me to hear someone who's in this business criticized. Well, you know, whether it's deserved or not, a lot of people criticize me. That's okay.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Audience,
wait. Just let me finish. You never hear me mention until this second Ed Schultz's name on this program. And I don't like to mention other people's, talk show hosts, whether I agree or disagree with them.
Yeah.
But it's a little weird for me to hear someone who I love call this program, you, go after Randy or go after Stephanie. There's just no need to do that. Let's just stay on the real topics, all right?
Okay, all right. Well, let me say that nameless host.
No, wait. You've already said it. I get it.
Okay.
You know, I get everything you said.
They support this regime. They do not support the Democratic Party anymore. There's no more Democratic Party. It's a corporate Democratic Party.
Well, that's...
It was something that one time I called in and you got a little upset because of how I said it, but they were the words of Ralph Nader on the night that Barack Obama was elected. John McCain.
Well, I admit, Sanchez, that I have been fooled along with a lot of Democrats. I am now unfooled. There happen to be quite a huge number of Democrats, apparently, who are still fooled. And I'm just not going down that path anymore. But again, I would appreciate, and I got to move on here, Sanchez, but I would appreciate if if, you know, when you call the program with the good stuff that you call, I love having you call. Just leave all the other talk show hosts completely out of the conversation. Just completely. I just don't do that. And I don't think it's, I just don't think it's very professional. Now I'm not talking about psychopaths like Glenn Beck or Rush Limbaugh. I mean, they are scum that need to be, you know, stepped on or, I don't know, pantsed. They need to be stripped naked and turned loose in Times Square. But I'm talking about other progressives or liberals because that's the thing about, you know, so-called progressives, so-called liberals, so-called Democrats. For the most part, we don't agree on much of anything. You know, we just agree, we agree on the ultimate objectives of getting this country squared away, but we just don't agree on how to do it. And I've just got to leave it at that. And I just appreciate that, you know, some of the people that, are in this business, I do like. Some of the people I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't have over for dinner, and some I would. But I just don't, I'm not comfortable about, talking about, in a critical sense, of any of these people because there's just no way for them to defend themselves. And, well, somebody will say, but Bush couldn't defend himself. you get my point. I think everybody gets my point. All right, I'm out of here. Thanks for hanging out tonight. I'll see you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. Say goodnight, Kathy.
Oh, yeah. Goodnight, Kathy.
See you tomorrow.